Right, let me talk to Siham Boda, who has been recently inducted as president of the Waterfront Rotary Club. Siham, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John. Thank you for having me.
When I have a mental picture of the president of a Rotary Club, that person doesn't look like you.
Oh, that's unfortunate. But unfortunately, John, your preconceived notion is the prevalent one. It's what we are trying to change in Rotary with that, you know, prevailing conception that we have.
Because these service clubs, Lions, Rotary, Roundtable, all of those, they do incredible work. They are service clubs and they do service. But they are associated with sort of, you know, patriarchal stereotypes, shall we say.
Certainly. I'd like to draw attention to the fact that you made a distinction between a service club and a charitable organization, because they are two quite distinct entities. And yes, we do incredible work, but it is very much overshadowed by the fact that it's old, white and male, if I can be as blunt as that. And that, unfortunately, is just because of our history in South Africa. If you look at other clubs in other parts of the world, Zimbabwe, Kenya, India, they're very much more reflective of the society and the demographics that surround them. In South Africa, just because of our history, we've got a lot of catch-up work to do. And that's one of the things we are trying actively to rectify. Other districts, we have a bit of a strange arrangement in Rotary, but other districts of which other provinces in South Africa fall into, we in the Western Cape are a separate district, but for example in KwaZulu-Natal and Johannesburg, they are more reflective of the demographics. We're just lagging a little bit in the Western Cape.
What is it that made you want to get into this? Because I mean, I look at your CV, BA, LLB, you've got an MBA, you've got a DPhil, you've got other degrees as well.
Just MPhil, no.
Don't qualify me.
It's
a string of letters as long as two lines on a page, and you have a very good career history in law and more latterly in mediation, where you are now specializing. So, you know, why add to that service in a service club which has historically been dominated by people not like you?
Oh, that's a great question, John. And I'm really glad you asked it. I think you get certain institutions that have wonderful infrastructure. And I'm a little bit lazy by nature, in the sense
which
that...
Which is why you got all of those degrees. Yeah, and lazy people do that.
And the reason I say that is, why reinvent the wheel? Rather take an organization which has fantastic infrastructure, which has a globally recognized brand, that has been touted as the top service institution, top charitable institution globally to donate funds to, and improve that. Because if that's the one thing that's lacking in the organization, that can be remedied. But starting a new organization from scratch, I mean, you've got over a century's worth of history that cannot be easily replicated. So rather, you know, use what you have and change it for the good. And you've got people within these organizations that are open to the change. They would welcome the change. They invite it actively. It's not that there's resistance to that change at all. I think it's very much a mindset in South Africa that needs to change. And it's not that we're not a giving nation. We are. We are incredibly generous. I think it's just a mindset shift which just lets people of my demographic realize there's a different way to serve. The way I got involved is actually a long history. My father, being of Indian origin, obviously couldn't join, but a colleague of his was a Rotarian and he would help with ancillary projects. This colleague of him was also a host to many Rotary exchange students. Me being an only child, when we went on a holiday or something, my father would invite whoever this chap was hosting and say, you know, would you like to come on holiday with us? And I met kids from Argentina and Austria and all sorts of fun places. And I said, oh, wow, that's really interesting. I finished matric and my dad said, is this something you'd like to do? And I said, yes, I'd be very keen. And so I was a Rotary exchange student at a very exciting time in South Africa. 1995, we were one of the first multiracial groups that got to go. I mean, we didn't even have our badges yet. We got them at the airport because the new South African flag hadn't actually been sort of mass produced yet. So a very exciting time. We were, of course, the darlings of the world. We were welcomed so openly and we had a fantastic time. And for me, me, it was such a wonderful way to see the world, because we've been so isolated growing up in apartheid before. You know, we were very, very insular. We weren't very outward looking. And it really opened up the world for me. I came from a very progressive family, fortunately, who were open to allowing me to have these experiences. And I'm just very much of the you know, the mental perception of let's play it forward. And on a day like today, like Women's Day, where we look at how marginalized our women are, how vulnerable they are, how few, you know, opportunities of hope our girl children have, when you sit and work with the children we work with and you just don't see that spark of hope or those ideas of what do you dream about, what do you want to be when you grow up, and you find ways in which we can shift it. The other reason I like Rotary is because when we look at projects, we really look at them sustainably. It's not a once-off. It's not like let's just throw money at something. It's really how do we, you know, anchor these institutions with stability so that they can go forward and
that, that be sustainable. That is incredibly important. I'm a trustee of a charitable trust, and we're putting together a scorecard at the moment of how we're going to rate requests for help, and that's sustainability. What are the chances that this organization is still going to be doing this work in 10, 20 years' time is very, very important. Quite. My colleague, Pippa Hudson, a couple of days ago was talking to some women in business from the MBA program at UCT's business school, and a couple of other women, and they were saying that the evidence is unarguable that when there is majority representation or equal representation of women in the executive and at board level and at senior management level, those companies perform better than companies in the same field where management executive board is still male dominated. Mm-hmm. Is the same true of service organizations? How would a female president and a female black president do things differently that would improve the work with this historical infrastructure?
I think it is a collaborative effort always. Our board, as it sits, is a little bit female heavy. I tease the four males we have on our board, and I say they are affirmative action candidates, and we're very happy.
They love that,
We're very happy to have them. But I think it's not only about that. I just think it brings diversity into the mix, and just, you know, highlighting that diversity, maybe bringing some a bit of a conscious effort to creating that diversity. And I think when it's, you know, looking to maybe gender issues, a little bit more understanding comes in when you do have a woman president or woman on the board. I think the
Do you choose different projects? Do you engage with the project teams differently?
I don't think necessarily, because I do have to give fair due to our male members. You know, they do have a sensitivity. They do have an understanding of vulnerability and the realities that are faced by women in the Western Cape area. So they do think about that, but certainly I think we do look at, for example, we work with a children's home where there is a woman director, and we do look for ways in which we can support her as another woman, because maybe coming from a male perspective, they might not be conscious of certain challenges she might face. So we might sort of highlight that sort of thing. But I don't think in particular different projects are chosen, but we would maybe say we want to really support our Inner Wheel Club with their rape comfort packs or something like that. So there might be some sort of genderization thing, but not wholly in particular. But if I can just highlight that one point, not really with Rotary, but when I worked abroad, I lived in India for a year working with a human rights organization. And while I was there, the tsunami hit, and our organization chose to engage with the community differently. We actively spoke to the women in the community versus the men. And it was very interesting to compare the requests for support to the villages where males were engaged.
What was the difference?
So a lot of the villages where males were engaged, they just simply asked for a lump sum of cash most of the time. Where the women were engaged, they asked very specifically for either seeds or food that they could regenerate and become sustainable. They asked for a lot of hygiene products, and they asked for products to do with medical health, whereas none of those were itemized with the male requests.
Siham, Women's Day, the amount, and I read GBV, and I thought, what? gender-based violence, it's so common that we've given it an acronym, you know, which kind of in a way distances the terrible reality that so many women experience when you talk about it with an acronym, GBV. Mm-hmm. We've got this mixed picture in South Africa. We're eighth on the world table in terms of having women represented in parliament. We have quite a high number of female cabinet ministers, although they seem to be chosen for pliability rather than for competence and efficiency. I'm going to be talking to somebody in a couple of hours who's going to point out that the percentage of women in positions of corporate leadership has actually declined over the last 10 years. So it's a very mixed picture. I mean, how would you sum up in 60 seconds women in South Africa on Women's Day in 2017?
I think women in South Africa are incredibly strong and incredibly resilient. I mean, if you look at the Western Cape scenario, you have women running households. You have the women who form part more part of the economic sort of pull than men do, yet they're the recipients of gender violence. And I think a lot of that comes down to like the insecurities men feel because they're not economically being the provider, and they seem to need to assert their sort of dominance in some way or the other. And we do have this disparity, and in a way it's a little bit inexplicable. Yes, you've got them in very prominent political sort of roles, yet down on the ground, which is the grassroots of these political organizations where they should be asserting for more support, they're not, and they're incredibly vulnerable. So it is a reality of South Africa that we have to work with, and one would have hoped that having the woman in the political roles, there would be a lot more support for women, so that there was a lot more secure transport, so that they could get to work, not getting up at 4 a.m. and having to travel in the dark, and you know, that sort of thing that puts them in vulnerable spaces. One would have thought, you know, there would be that active sort of push to make women more safe, but there unfortunately has not been.
It's been a real privilege talking to Siham Boda, recently inducted as president of the Waterfront Rotary Club. She's a lawyer by training, a mediator by practice at the moment, and thank you very, very much for coming.